summary for the sake of those who were not here last week and others who have forgotten. Christian liberty is a term that's applied to those areas of life and living that are not specifically or expressly forbidden in the Bible. Christian liberty is I may have liberty to do something that you don't. And of course, the reverse. There are some things in the Christian life, in some circles, they're no-nos. But they fall in the area of Christian liberty, and therefore, if you have liberty to do them, that's fine. No individual has the right to demand his preferences or to condemn the preferences of another. It's not uncommon that an individual who feels real strongly about his Christian liberty and his being able to not, you know, you don't do something because that's just a no-no. That kind of individual sometimes will want to cause his church to practice that. And things that are Christian liberties are just that, they're liberties. And pastor quoted one of his mentors who said, some can, you can. And that pretty well covers the subject of Christian liberty. Now, this subject creates strong feelings in most every person. And the reason for that is because an individual can come to the place where they feel for certain that what their preference is in a matter, that's what God would want. And when they think that's what God would want, wow, you got God on your side. That makes for some pretty strong arguing and some pretty bad attitudes. And so look at Proverbs chapter 16. Three verses, then we're going to get into the new stuff. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Okay, so whatever a person decides on a given, remember I gave you a list of things through the years that I've seen people can get into arguments over and can fall under this term of Christian liberty. It wasn't a comprehensive list, it was just a bunch of things. But all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. So whether you do it or you don't do it, doesn't matter. See the rest of the verse. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. And that's the key thing, the attitude and the heart. Chapter 20 and verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Okay, so a guy has a subject and he feels strongly for it or against it. He's going to proclaim it and then his own goodness. Now listen. Notice there, but a faithful man who can find. A key thing in all of this matter, Christian liberty, there's a Bible verse Paul quotes, godliness with contentment is great gain. And when it comes to Christian liberty, maybe you can't do something that somebody else can. You just, you know, do you live godly? Do you have contentment? If you don't have contentment in your Christian life, and if you don't show godliness, well, then it doesn't matter what you think regarding any given subject, because the goal is godliness. And that kind of godliness is going to produce contentment, not man's godliness. Man's godliness is determined by what he does and doesn't do. And that's often determined by his preferences. And so chapter 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. And so you come up with an idea, you come up with a position on a subject, okay, and you're right. Everybody's right in their own eyes. Everybody else is wrong if you don't agree with me. But the Lord ponders the hearts. And that's something we need to remember when we can get excited about a particular subject that falls under this matter of Christian living. Now, or Christian liberty. A very dangerous and even more confusing situation is when a preacher, whether it's a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, whatever kind of traveling ministry a person may have, okay, when they present a matter that is that falls under Christian liberty, but they present it as Bible. They present their view as the way it's got to be because this is what God says relative to that. But Christian liberty says no. If God gives you the liberty to do, then it doesn't matter what the person standing behind this pulpit might say shouldn't be done. Okay? Now, we're not talking about things that are specifically, I mean, you back there is the Ten Commandments. Okay? Those are very specific. And God, you know, has some things in the Bible that are very specific. And those we have got to keep. But we're talking about other stuff. Like, should you go to the movie house or not? Some of that's going to depend on how old you are. Okay? My generation didn't go to movie houses. I mean, you just didn't do that. It was a no-no because that's where the world was. Well, now we got a problem. The world's come into our home through television and through DVDs that you can even just get on your TV. You don't even have to go to the big red box and put your money in and get the actual product out. You can just get it, okay? And so is it still wrong to look at certain movies? You better believe it is. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, etc., 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 think on these. You can't think on them when you're watching some of this other stuff. Okay? I mean, you can know that simply by watching normal TV. You don't select those programs, but when the promos come on, there are some promos that you should not watch. I'm telling you. Shows half of a bedroom scene? What do you mean half of a bedroom scene? You know what I mean. It's just enough to let you know what's going on there. And, all right, listen, I got to get to the actual subject here. Part two is living liberty. Or you could call it applying liberty. Number one, don't get so accustomed or dependent on a thing that you have liberty to do that you could not leave it or give it up. Scriptures, 1 Corinthians. We're gonna be a lot in 1 Corinthians and Romans. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. You know, I need to make a note because I want to remind the teachers that they, I'd like them to, and what I'll do is send them each a text to listen to these Sunday school lessons. Because I think it's so important, okay, what's being taught here regarding Christian liberty. I have seen it divide churches. Really have. I've seen it divide friends. There was a lady in the Grace Bible Church, oh man, decades ago. And we were arguing over going to movies. She went to movies. I said, well, how in the world can you do that when you're supposed to be a good Christian? And then so she gave me her reasons, you know, why it was okay to do that. And you know what? Eventually, within a couple years, what I had done was watch that lady. Now, number one, she was selective in what she went to watch. Okay? And then the second and really important thing is she was godly.
Amen.
She was godly. Going to them movies didn't cause her to go into some bar.
Amen.
Okay? Didn't cause her to do other things. And now, let me tell you something. that was not an easy adjustment for me in my life. Now, she could, I couldn't. I know I can. But I don't have the faith, and you're going to see this in the scriptures. I don't have the faith to do it. You say, well, that's silly. No, it's not silly. It's just different. Some can, some can't. All right, Romans or 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. Now, don't say me. You be the me. All things are lawful unto you, but all things are not expedient. See, there isn't a lot of things that aren't forbidden, but they're not expedient. They're not beneficial. All things are lawful for you, but you should not be brought under the power of any. And so, you and I have the okay to do a lot of things, but that doesn't mean because we have the okay to do it that we ought to do it. You say, well, how do I determine that? Not by what I think, not by what somebody else that you respect thinks, but what the Spirit of God works in your heart. All right, chapter 9. Fill in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Under the Jews I became as Jews, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Now, Paul knew he wasn't under the law. He was a Jew, but he knew he wasn't under the law. To them that are without the law is without the law. He knew people, Gentiles, that, you know, they weren't part of the law. They didn't understand it, being not without law to God. Oh, they may not have been under the Mosaic law, but they weren't without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. So here he is, a Jew that lived under the law and understood it. But he said, I'm willing to live like these Gentiles. Why? So that I can reach them. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak. Now you'll see in another passage that weak didn't eat the meat offered to idols. They ate only herbs. To the weak became I as weak. In other words, he lived like and practiced like weak Christians did, that I might gain the weak. He said, I've got a goal here, and that's to reach people for Jesus Christ. And for me to flaunt my liberty in front of them is going to hinder them. So I became to them like they are. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Wow. Yeah, you can do it. You can go ahead and do it. You have the liberty to do it, but maybe you ought not to do it so you can reach some people. They don't have an understanding of Christian liberty. All they know is seeing you do some things that they don't think Christians ought to. Well, I have the liberty to do it. Yeah, but do you want to reach them for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker there? Now, that's what he says. So don't get accustomed to something that you might need to give up. Number two, do not argue, insist, or treat as if a liberty is written in stone. Now, with matters of liberty, you can discuss it. You can explain your view and your understanding, but keep a civil attitude. We're still in 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 13. In chapter 13, verse 5, of course, chapter 13 is talking about charity. It's not the love chapter, it's charity. There's a difference between love and charity. That's a whole other subject, but he's talking about charity. When it says charity, that's not just the old-fashioned King James Version. It is the old-fashioned King James Version, but it's written charity because that charity is different. okay? And like I said, I can't get into that. We'll let Pastor handle that. All right, chapter 13, verse 5. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. So you're discussing this subject with somebody. If you have charity, you're not going to act unseemly. Seeketh not her own. You're not just there to prove your point. Is not easily provoked. Oh, that guy gets me so ticked off. I just can't stand it. He makes no sense in what he says, your charity doesn't do that. And now turn to Romans. Keep your place there, if you will. Keep your place in Corinthians, because we'll come back to it. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. Him that is weak. So Paul establishes that there is a condition that is called weak as a Christian. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. All right, somebody doesn't see it the way you do. Somebody doesn't have the understanding that you do. Don't shun them. Don't push them out. Okay? But don't do it to doubtful disputations. Don't do it just to always be ranging on them. You know what ranging is, don't you? Always railing on them. I think that's the word I wanted. Railing on them because they don't see it the way you see it. Oh, boy, and I'll tell you something that's going to ruin it. And that is, if here you got person B that doesn't understand like you person A does. Now, you person A are going to be talking with person C. You know, I was talking with person B, and he just doesn't see it. He can't get it. He's so thick-headed, you just can't get through. And guess who comes walking in and hears you talking about them? Let me tell you, that's doubtful disputations. That's going to ruin, that could ruin that weaker Christian. That weaker Christian, because of how the strong Christian handles it, that weaker Christian could end up drifting off, drifting away, and then eventually just giving up. And that's when all of the saints say, who didn't drift off, wonder what happened to him. Well, he mustn't have had the real faith. Oh, hypocrites. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Now, we're talking about meat offered to idols. We don't deal with that today. We deal with other subjects. So you have to take the principles of this and apply it to the other subjects. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. He can't eat meat. All he eats is herbs. Okay, now, you know, I like to say, you know what that means? God is for red meat. you can eat. Okay. Let not him that eateth, let not the guy who can eat it, he's got the faith, he can eat it. Don't let him despise him that eateth not. And that's what some of that is what comes in with these Christian liberty things. When they see you can't influence them, then they can begin to despise. They can begin to feel very negative toward that person. And when it comes time to on another subject, the other person may feel like the first guy did, but they ain't going to include him because you don't think what I think in this Christian liberty thing. And let not him which eateth not judge. There you come, that judging business coming in. Let him not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Can you see that? God hath received him. And so you've got liberty to do something, and you feel pretty good that you can do it, and it doesn't bother you. Now, I want to watch your life and see if you're godly. Just because you say you can do something doesn't mean it's okay. Okay, and we're going to see a Bible verse for that. We already saw all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And so, but I'm going to watch your life and see if you show godliness, because what good is your liberty if you don't have godliness? As a matter of fact, what you're going to do is use your liberty, the Bible says it, Paul, as a license to sin. All right, got to move on. We are responsible for others. Now, I've been going all around that, touching on that, but we are responsible for others. Still in Romans 14, look at verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. You want to judge something? Judge this. That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. Now we got three things going here. Whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. To stumble is to hinder, to obstruct, to cause to fail. And there are some things you shouldn't do. You have liberty to do it, but you shouldn't do it because it's going to cause another Christian to be hindered or to be offended. Now, offended doesn't mean he offended me, hurt my feelings. No, not that kind of trash, okay? Offend means to entrap somebody or to trip them up. And hence, you can do some things, you do them, but the other Christian who's watching, they feel that, well, if he can do it, maybe I ought to do it, but they don't have the faith to do it. We're going to get into that more. And therefore, what causes you is you get entrapped by this liberty thing. Because you begin doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You don't have the faith and the strength to do them. That's the offended or is made weak. You see, you do something that, you know, you have liberty to do it, but you know it's causing people to stumble. Now listen, stumbling is a subject of the Bible. It's a happening. It's a stumbling block. It's not a stumbling excuse. You'll find that there are people who feel you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't do this. And therefore, they'll throw out the stumbling card. Okay, like we talk in politics. Well, he pulled out the race card. Okay, and in Christian circles, they pull out the stumbling card. Well, you ought not to do that because it's going to cause somebody else to stumble. No, that's a stumbling excuse. It's a means of controlling. It's a means of getting what your preference is to be accepted by others. It doesn't have to be. As long as it's accepted by you with God and it causes you to be godly in Christ Jesus, then it's okay. So there's a difference between an actual stumbling block and a stumbling excuse that Christians want to throw out. You say, how do you know that? I did it.
Come on.
I don't know how many times through the years when I felt that, you know, people ought to be doing what I was doing, and I'd throw out the stumbling excuse. I'm ashamed of it, but I'm telling you it happens.
Yeah, amen. Sure does.
It happens. And then the next thing is the faith factor. Now, this is going to go along with what we just said in that we're responsible for others. Hey, wait a minute. We didn't go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Got to go back to 1 Corinthians. This time, chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block. So you see, Paul, by the Spirit of God, acknowledges that it is possible for a Christian's liberty to actually be a stumbling block to them that are weak. They haven't grown. They may grow to the point where they join in with you. They may grow to the point where they know that's something they don't do. For if any man see, verse 10, for if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened? He sees you doing it, so he feels, well, he can go ahead and do it. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. You see, the weak person does it just because you're doing it, but they don't have the faith. They haven't grown to the point you have, and therefore when they go ahead and participate, it gets them all messed up inside.
Yep.
Because now they still have guilt for what they're doing, and they're trying to overcome where they are on that subject. You see, doing what you do or doing what I do is not the goal. Doing what God wants is the goal. And this Christian liberty thing is not easy. And there are a lot of churches that don't actually practice Christian liberty. What they do, whether it's by the influence of the pastor or the influence of other key people, they take on as the character of the church the liberties that those people have, which also includes the liberties they don't have. Because they don't do this, they don't do that. You know, a lot of Christians, you get into some circles, and their godliness is determined by what they don't do. Forget what they do, it's what they don't do. They don't wear this, they don't go there, they don't eat this, they don't drink that. Now listen, in case you're worried that we're going to end up with an awful, sinful church, the Bible does tell us what godly living is. And that's what we need to conform to. Okay, the faith factor. This involves our intimacy with Christ. This is the doctrine of sanctification. Romans. Let's go to Romans again. Well, no, you're already in Corinthians. Let's look at chapter 8 in Corinthians and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 8, 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. So you don't see it as meat offered to idol. You just went to the marketplace. You just bought a piece of meat. You know where it was butchered, but it doesn't bother you. But not every man has that knowledge. And their conscience being weak is defiled. You see, we're responsible for other people. Look at verse 8. But meat commendeth us not to God. Doesn't matter, he says. If we eat, are we the better? Neither. If we eat not, are we the worse? And what he's saying is, doesn't matter. Whether you eat or you don't eat, it isn't going to make you better. What you need to have is that submission to God. Now, Romans chapter 14. Back to Romans chapter 14 and verse 15. Romans 14, 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat. So you got this guy, sees you eating meat offered to the idol. You've got this person, sees you doing something by way of a our day practice. And he's really grieved. He goes home and he says to his wife, do you know what I saw Bill do? Do you know where I saw Bill go? I can't believe it, you know. You know I saw Bill put money in the big red box down at Walmart? And he got out a video. You know what kind of videos they have in there. Let's pray for him.
Yeah.
But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Now walkest thou. You're not walking charitably. You see, it doesn't say lovingly. It says charitably. Because charity edifies. Verse 22. Hast thou faith? All right, you have faith. You can do this matter. It doesn't bother you, and it really doesn't hinder you. You maintain your godliness. Hast thou faith? All right, now look at what he says. Have it to thyself before God. Don't push it into faith of other people who think different. Don't let it be known what you can do. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You've heard that quoted many times. I've quoted it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so you have somebody, they cannot do this in the Christian liberty, but they go ahead and try it, and that becomes sin to them because they don't have the faith to do it. So quit pushing your way of living on other people. You're causing them to sin in heart, in spirit. Just you go ahead and live godly and interact in fellowship with them. And the things that you feel you can do, just do them in private. That's what he's telling us. Just do it. Have it to thyself before God. Now, the charity factor, I've already touched on that. We're still in Romans 14. Look at verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. You have the power, you have the faith, you have the strength, you can do it. But this guy over here, or this woman there, it really troubles them that you're doing that sort of thing. Don't be so attached to that thing, but what you can give it up for their sake. You can give it up for their sake. But no, the attitude that most of us have is, I'm not going to give it up. I can do it. Let them suffer. And that's exactly what they'll do. They'll suffer in their faith, and you'll be held by God as responsible. If you got anything out of all these verses I've been reading from Romans and Corinthians, it's that we are responsible for others. And God isn't like the government where somebody says, well, I'm responsible, but there's no consequence. Okay? God says when you're responsible, there's a consequence. Now listen, I'm telling you, these things are not easy. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 1, now as touching things offered to idols, now as touching this subject that you can get all up in arms about, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. Knowledge, you know, the fact that you know you can do this, you can become proud of that. Within your own heart and spirit, you can become proud of the fact that you can do that. You have the liberty to do that. But charity edifies. Knowledge puffeth up. It says it right there. But charity edifies. All right, last thing. When looking at a lot of these subjects, there is no specific instruction given, but there's Bible principles. For example, TV. Should I have a TV or shouldn't I have a TV? If I have a TV, what should I watch or not watch on TV? You know, you can turn all over the Bible and you ain't going to find anything about TVs. You know that. But look at Philippians. Philippians, if you would, quickly. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, etc., 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 think on these things. That's what we're... Now, we take a Bible verse, a principle like that, and we apply it to a video we're going to watch, to a TV program we're going to watch, to a magazine we're going to look at. Hey, David said, set a watch before your eyes. You're going through the checkout counter at Walmart. I like to see the scandal sheets. I like to see what Harry and Meghan are doing, okay? But then there's some others there that, geez, you know, you can't look at them. And listen... Don't take the time to gawk at those big boobs that are on that cover. Because just about the time you're doing that, along is going to come one of the church people. And they're going to see you, oh, you know, big eyes. Listen, your testimony is worth more than that curiosity. Now, there's two, as you travel this Christian road, there's two ditches to avoid. On the one side of the road is the individual who vigorously promotes liberty. He has to watch out for the ditch okay, of a loose lifestyle and an undisciplined lifestyle. And then on the other side of the road is the ditch of legalism. Legalism is man-made rules. Now, legalism, I think, is a valid term when you're applying Bible rules. But man-made rules, okay, they just confuse things. And so then the person goes in that ditch. So you're traveling the road of life. Stay away from the excess this way. Stay away from the excess that way. Use not your liberty as a license to sin. Amen. That's what Paul says. All right. That's it. Father in heaven, you've heard it all. You've known it before it was given. And now the folks have heard it. And I pray that it truly would be something helpful, that your spirit would take from these two lessons what will help to give them some guidance. Guidance from you, Father, not from me, but guidance from you. And we thank you for it.